This is Hannah Forden for Heritage Radio Network on tour here at Good Food Mercantile in Brooklyn. Our coverage today is supported in part by the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts. And it's been a really fun, long day. Right now I'm sitting down with Josh Rogers, who is the founder of Cup of Sea, which I just recently saw out in the wild at Foragers this past week, which was a sign. So I'm very excited to talk with you. Hi, Josh. Thanks for sitting with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Josh was just recently on the Farm Report, so if you would like a deep dive into sustainable seaweed and aquaculture and all of the hard-hitting, agricultural, sustainable side of the story, you should check that out. So, Josh, you were just telling me about your background, which I found very interesting. I'm always fascinated to hear about how people found themselves in the food world, because I think we all come from diverse backgrounds. So you came from Zagat and then Google. So tell me about when that shift happens, when you decided to go into the world of seaweed.
Yeah, so my professional background was as a writer, editor, and I worked at Zagat, which is the famous restaurant guide based in New York City. And I was there for probably about 7 years before one day these magical creatures descended from the sky and said, "We're from Google and, you know, we're buying your company. And from now on, you get free lunch every day." And so henceforth, we were Google employees, and that was just an amazing 5 years that I was at that company. And so I was still doing food writing for them, but it was more around the dining space and the travel space and things like that, really thinking about it. We weren't, at that point, we weren't quite as close up to the everyday restaurant scene going on in New York City. But still always thinking very much about food, thinking about the foodie world. And at Google, it was very much about helping diners make choices, basically, about where to eat. Because there's a million options out there, basically. And so I was really missing Maine. I'm from Maine originally, and I was missing Maine so much, and missing even just that smell of the ocean. And so I started cooking with a lot of seaweed from Maine. And one day I was in the Google cafeteria and I was drinking some green tea. And I was just struck by the fact that it smelled and tasted exactly like the kelp I was cooking with. And so I started thinking about seaweed tea and I figured this must exist already, but I'm just going to Google it and see. And there really was nothing like that out there on the market. So I just kind of filed that away and kept thinking about it until finally, about 3 years ago, my wife and I moved back to Maine, up to Portland, and I just started tinkering.
So you started out, correct me if I'm wrong, with a retail version of this idea. Was it, the retail came first, correct?
So originally, and I totally credit my experience at Google to helping me really figure out what product development is and how to start actually really tiny and user test from the very beginning. And so I just, in my little kitchen in Portland, I started blending things, and then I got them out in front of people who were not friends and who didn't know me, and, you know, internalized that feedback and kept iterating on it and developing different blends. And so this was not my day job at the time. I was freelancing for Google and just starting really small scale, but I had a packaged loose leaf tea that I was selling to, selling at farmers markets, but also just to a couple local cafes and different natural health food stores.
And what was the trial and error process like of developing your product line? Were there any combinations of flavors that you were like, this is going to be great with seaweed, and then you taste it and you were like, nope?
Absolutely. So my first idea, you know, I had was basically to have it be a blend of just different seaweeds, like a pure seaweed tea. And when I tested that, there were a couple people who loved it, and everyone else was not having it. Like, it was just too much, too way too intense. And so that was one of those genius ideas that I had that just very quickly I saw that it was not going to fly. But everything else since then, I've had to adjust. But once I started figuring out that I needed to blend the seaweed with other ingredients, most of the thoughts I've had of pairings have worked pretty well. And then it's just a matter of adjusting it and just seeing what the market reacts. Yeah.
And I think in maybe the past 2 or 3 years, we've been seeing a lot more seaweed in the American market. Obviously, many other parts of the world have had seaweed be a part of their diet for a long, long time, but it seems like the American palate and the American consumers are always looking for the newest superfood, and seaweed is pretty super. It is so rich in nutrients. So it seems like your timing was pretty spot on, but what has been the kind of reaction from retailers to this fairly innovative product, and are you seeing more and more people looking for innovative ways to consume seaweed and benefit from the both the flavor and the nutritional benefits?
Yeah, like you said, it is a really interesting time for seaweed in the United States. There's a ton of interest. There have been major media stories every week or so for the last 5-10 years. But it's one of those it's a growth that's happening in fits and starts. So for instance, right now Maine has something like 25 or 30 seaweed farms, and the market hasn't quite caught up to that yet. But what I've really internalized, being sort of on the front lines of the seaweed retail market, whether doing tastings, my own tastings, or now I have a store that I sell all sorts of different seaweed things, is there are so many people out there that are ready for seaweed. They might not have it as part of their daily diet, but they're open-minded about it, and they know it's good for them. They're excited about it. They've read the stories about how good it is for the environment, but they don't know exactly what to do with it. So it's like they're primed and ready, and so it's great because we really do have this expanding marketplace of, there are seaweed teas, obviously, that I make. There's kelp jerky. There's pickles and salsa and all sorts of different things where I think entry points for people.
Excellent. And so tell me about your store. It's Heritage Seaweed. And do you only carry your own line, or are you showcasing other Maine producers?
Yeah, so it was meant in some ways to solve a problem that I experienced over my first year of doing Cup of Sea, the teas, which is basically, people tend to like the teas when they've tasted them, but how do you taste them? You're not just going to necessarily pick something off the shelf and spend $10 on it. So I had to do a lot of demos, which can be very tiring. So when I also had this problem of, I had expanded to the point where it had taken over my house, and so I needed a professional kitchen. And so I found this space in Portland where I could make tea on a more industrial scale, and I could build a custom tasting table and have my tea there every day, so people could taste it. But over that year or two that I had been making the tea, I had met all the different seaweed producers in Maine, and there were so many awesome people doing cool, innovative things with seaweed that I wanted to create this showcase for all of us, basically. I had come back to New York to do a tasting, like a pop-up tasting at Google, and I had been working with the event planner there, and I said, I'd love to bring my friend, and he can do like a seaweed cooking class. And the event producer said, well, let me just understand, if he were to do that, could the people that took the class, would they be able to find like the seaweed ingredients? And I was like, yeah, of course, you can get it at Whole Foods. It's everywhere now, but it's invisible to so many people. So that's the other reason for having the store, is like, it's literally putting it on the map, saying seaweed exists. We have all the products here. You can come and learn about them, experience them, taste them, talk to someone who actually knows about them. So it really needed that physical world space dedicated to it.
I think a lot of the conversations I've had today have come back to the conversation about education being your most important marketing tool as a small business, and so many people in this room are approaching the food industry from a really creative and innovative direction that might not be familiar to many consumers, that education is so important, and having that retail space seems like a crucial way of doing that. And you also mentioned that you launched Seaweed Week in Maine, which also seems like a very good way to educate consumers. So tell me about that and how you brought it together for a seaweed food festival.
Yeah, so it was like a crash course in major event planning. I got the idea basically in December and planned this festival for April, which is during the kelp harvest season. And really trying to showcase all of the cool things happening with seaweed in Maine, wild harvest and farmed seaweed, but really focusing on farmed seaweed as something that's going to be the future of seaweed. That's where we're going to expand. And trying to get seaweed in front of the public through the best way I knew how from my Zagat days, which is restaurants. Like, when restaurants do something, people listen, and the chefs are basically the rock stars of our day. And the other problem with seaweed is that people think it's just one thing and one taste, and maybe you could put it in soup or something. But really, it's this. There are 10,000 species. There's an incredible variety of tastes and even culinary uses. It can be used as a thickener, all sorts of different things. And so wanted to showcase that. And so created this event called Seaweed Week. And it was timed to the kelp harvest, so it was kind of a kelp harvest festival. And it ended up being about 70 locations all around Maine, about half of it in Portland. And it was everything from high-end restaurants to there were seaweed cocktails. We had three different brewing companies that did seaweed beers. There was like a chocolate seaweed stout, which was actually like probably the best chocolate stout I've ever had. And there was seaweed bagels, there was pizza, ice cream, like fine artisan chocolate. Just, it really ran the gamut and just showed people how versatile this crop is. So it was a huge success, and we had people coming from like Washington, D.C. and New York and Boston, and really like going to as many places as they could check off the list. And so we're absolutely going to bring it back next April and do it again.
Awesome. And I know you touched on this more with Lisa, but as someone who lives in New York City, what does farmed seaweed look like? How do you cultivate it?
Yeah, so we are only cultivating a few species in the United States right now. It's mostly been done in Asia historically. 10 years ago, the first seaweed farm was started in Casco Bay, which is right off of the coast of Portland. And now there's, like I said, about 30 seaweed farms in Maine. And what happens, the particular species that we're cultivating are a couple of different species of kelp. And their growing season it's planted in December and then harvested in late April, early May. And the process is basically in a laboratory facility. It's just grown on these small little threads wrapped around a PVC pipe. And then in December you go out and you basically spin that thread around a giant rope that's attached to some buoys. It's cold, it's not very fun, but the harvest is fun. And then really you just check on it every couple of weeks. There's no fertilizer involved, no pesticides, no watering to do or anything like that. And so you come back, and then in April, May, it's huge. And you go out and kind of winch up sections of the rope and slice it off and then dry it. Or some people are starting to do some things with like the fresh seaweed as well. So it's fun. Like the harvesting is really cool. And it's very interesting right now because Maine's marine economy has really it used to be fairly diversified, and now it's really just lobsters for the most part. And so seaweed is growing. It's still really tiny, but a lot of lobstermen are getting into seaweed farming because they already have the equipment, obviously, and it's kind of a hedge against what could happen with the lobster market with climate change and other things. And it's off season for them. So, you know, they're not doing anything in the winter. So it's just a cool kind of thing, seeing all these basically fishermen starting to farm.
Yeah. That's really fascinating. So walk us through your product line. So you have, is it 3 or 4 teas?
Yeah, we've got 5 different blends. 3 at the show today, our 3 most popular blends. So today I have 2 herbal teas. They're all blends. It's not just 100% seaweed. So one of them is we call it Emerald Honeybush. It's a honeybush tea or rooibos, if you've ever had that. It has a natural sweetness to it, combined with sea lettuce, Ulva lactuca, which is a neon green. It does look like a piece of lettuce. We have another herbal, which is our most popular blend. It's called Sailor's Cure-All. It's ginger, turmeric, and bladderwrack, which is probably what people are most familiar with. You see it growing right along the coast. It's got air bubbles. That one, all of those ingredients are digestive aids and anti-inflammatories. And then we have a caffeinated tea, which we're just launching today, called Bold Coast Breakfast. And that one is really meant, it's our first tea that really doesn't have any seaweed taste to it. And it's really meant for the people that are nervous about it or aren't sure, just to have a regular black cup of tea with a little bit of kelp in it for, you know, the minerals and other nutrients. You can get a little bit of that into your diet.
And where can our listeners find Cup of C?
Yeah, you can find it online at cupofc.me, M-E. You can also find it at Heritage Seaweed. We've got a website and we've got a store in downtown Portland, Maine. And then we're at about 50 or 60 locations, mostly in Maine and New England, a few places in New York City. We're at Forage Market in Dumbo and Lifetime Market in Manhattan. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me, Josh, and enjoy the rest of Mercantile.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And again, check out Josh's interview on the Farm Report if you want to learn more about seaweed production in Maine.